Keep your Bibles open there, if you will, to that particular chapter. We're going to be reading a little further down in the chapter this morning. Thank you, Holland, for getting us started. And for all those who helped in our worship service this morning, and thank you for being here and being a part of this. Do you remember as a child reading the Sunday comic strips, or the funnies as they were sometimes referred to? And probably of all the ones that you read, maybe one of the more popular ones was the Peanuts strip. And in one of those particular cartoons, Lucy demands that Linus change the channel on the TV and then threatens with her fist if he doesn't. "What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over?" asks Linus. "These five fingers," says Lucy. "Individually, they're nothing, but when you curl them into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold." "Which channel do you want?" asks Linus. And of course, that's the way Lucy got her way a lot of times. Maybe not the most pleasant way to deal with Linus, and don't know that we would approve that method, but I think it does give a powerful illustration of how the church and the body of Christ is designed to work together. And if you look at her philosophy, individually these five fingers are really nothing, very small, can't do a lot, yet if you put them together, there's a force there, a weapon to behold. And it is when we come together that we become an effective instrument for tearing down the strongholds of Satan and for communicating the love of our Savior. That's what the body is all about. That's what the church is about. That's one of the reasons of our existence here on this earth, is to do those two very things. You know, if you look at the New Testament, and this is one of those lessons that I could have simply turn from chapter to chapter, and we would just have read verse after verse after verse, and would have accomplished in probably a much better way than what I will, what we're trying to get across this morning. Because in Romans, in 1 Corinthians, in Ephesians, and in Colossians, Paul makes over 30 references to the church by using the analogy of the human body. Just as our bodies need care and attention, so too the church can only be healthy and experience growth when everything is brought into balance and has proper exercise. And here in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul compares the church to the human body. And through this analogy that we're going to look at this morning, he communicates the important truth of our need to accept our differences as individual members of the body of Christ and to recognize that these differences are a vital part of our functioning as a whole. They're not to be accentuated, resulting in division, rather the purpose of meeting the various needs that exist within the church, both locally and globally. And there are many parts because there are many needs. And without some of the various parts, some of the needs, of course, would be neglected. I want to try to help us understand this morning what Paul is basically getting at here in this 12th chapter. What is he striving to teach by summarizing all of that he says in this chapter into basically three words? We're going to emphasize these three words throughout the lesson this morning. I need you. And I think if you look and see it, what Paul is saying, that's what he's trying to emphasize. That's what he's trying to point out. That's what he's trying to get across. I need you. We're part of this body. We work together. Everything works in harmony as long as we rely on one another. And the point that Paul is trying to make can be summed up in this motto. Let me repeat it once more. I need you. I don't want to spend a lot of attention this morning on tearing down this passage into little pieces. We're going to read it through verse 27 here in just a moment. And then I want to look at three principles of body life within the church that Paul uses to drive home this point of our need for one another. Let's begin by reading there in chapter 12. I'm going to pick up there in verse 14 where we ended just a moment ago. "Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. It's one of my favorite passages. That's simple. Paul breaks it down. He says, here's exactly what's going on. You know your human body. You know the different parts, how they work together. That's the way it is with the body of Christ. There's not one part that's not important. It takes everything. It takes all to make this body work. Three things that I want to look at this morning. And then I want to leave you with just a couple of applications as we end. Number one, each member is indispensable. Paul touches on that. And I think the first principle that Paul wants us to understand about our need for one another is that each member is that very thing, indispensable, meaning needed, very much an important part. Not all the same size, not all the same function, not all the same talents, yet each part is needed, and if not there, is missed. While each member of the body of Christ is not the same, each of us is essential to the whole, and that's what he's trying to point out. Each part must be present in order for the body to be complete. It takes all the parts to make the body. Each part has that function. But for the sake of argument this morning, if it were possible for a body to be made up of only one part, how extremely limiting would that be? If this body that we had only had the sense of hearing, what would happen? We'd bump into a lot of things that didn't make noise, wouldn't we? Only thing we'd get out of the way of would be a train running down the tracks because we could hear it, or a passing car. There are a lot of objects that we would smack right into. It takes those eyes to see those objects. Everything works together. It takes all of the parts making up. This is such a simple concept. Yet one that I wonder if we often apply to our spiritual body. The body that we're a part of. So it is with the body of Christ. God has made all of us different and unique. He gifts us in each our particular ways like no one else. We are each special and necessary. We're to carry out the function of which we were created and gifted by God. Whether it is for seeing, hearing, smelling, touching, whatever, each part must be willing to perform its own function and not seek to function in a role for which it was not made. We're each unique. We're each indispensable. Not everyone will have a leading role in the play. But you know, to make a play successful, everyone must be involved. That's the way it is in anything. Remember what Paul is saying. I need you. Another thing I think that we can gain from that, indispensable, each member is interdependent. This is the second principle in this passage that supports Paul's thesis concerning our need for one another, is that each member is interdependent. Every part of the body of Christ relies on the proper functioning of every other part. Without the cooperative and corporate participation of the various parts of our human body, if not all, some tasks would be impossible. Think about just a minute, me being able to speak here this morning. You might think, well, that's your voice. And it is. That's part of it. But think about what else is involved. The brain is involved. The nerves, the tongue, the jaws, the lips, the larynx, the lungs, the diaphragm, the heart, the veins, the arteries, the capillaries. Just to name a few, there are other parts that I'm not familiar with that are involved as well. If these weren't working together, if these weren't working in harmony, if something was off in just one of these small parts, this voice wouldn't be able to be heard. That's just one example of how we're interdependent on one another. The same is true of the church. Each member of the body of Christ is interdependent. Even the most menial functioning of that body requires a coordinated effort between the various members. Kenneth Chaffin, in a commentary that he wrote on 1 and 2 Corinthians, says this, and I quote, he says, "All the pictures of the church are group pictures. The more mature we become in Christ, the more we realize that throughout our entire life, we will continue to need each other." And I think we do realize that as we grow, as we mature, as we rely on one another, as we look to one another to meet those needs that need to be met within that family. There was a story told of a certain village in Europe, and this was several centuries ago, and a nobleman wondered what legacy he should leave to the townspeople. And at last he decided to build them a church building. No one had seen the complete plans for the church until it was finished. When the people gathered, they marveled at its beauty and completeness. And then someone asked, "But where are the lamps? How will they be lighted?" The nobleman pointed to some brackets in the walls. Then he gave each family of that body or that church a lamp that they would bring with them each time they came to worship. "Each time you're here in the area where you sit will be lighted," the nobleman said. "But each time you're not here, that area will be dark. This is to remind you that whenever you fail to be here and be a part of this body, some part of God's house will be dark." I thought that was a fitting illustration, one that could apply even today. Are we leaving a dark spot in the body? Another analogy that we could look at is that of flying a kite. As we consider this activity, we may ask the question, "Who flew the kite?" "Well, I did," comes a reply from the wind. "I did," shouts the paper in the kite. "I did," exclaims the tail. "I did," says the string. "Or I did," boasts the boy who was holding on to that string. You know that story. It took all of those parts to get that kite into the air. Each had a part to play. God has placed you here in a strategic role. You're an important part of the successfulness and effectiveness of this body. I think we sometimes overlook that. We say, "Someone else can do that. I'm not talented in that area. Someone else can take care of that. They have more time. They have more means of which to do something." Each part is interdependent on one another. Remember what Paul is saying: "I need you." Number three, and I think a third principle that we can gain from this: each member is interconnected. I think Paul is trying to convey to us about our individual needfulness in that each member is interconnected with one another. Let me bring this principle home by giving you another example from our human body. I talked about a voice just a minute ago. We don't give a lot of thought to our toes sometimes, do we? Especially that little pinky toe. About the only time we pay any attention is when we're doing the little pig went wee, wee, wee all the way home. That's the only big part it plays. But have you ever gone barefoot at home? I love to go barefoot at home. Most of the time I am. And you'll run into something and you'll stub that pinky toe. What happens? It becomes a very important part, doesn't it? You hop around on that other foot. You reach down to massage that toe. You think so that you can make sure you're saying the right things as that toe hurts. But you know that toe's in pain. You know that that toe is affected. You haven't given it thought maybe for weeks or months, and now something has happened. You can feel that pain. Immediately, you're evident of that toe. And that's exactly how it's supposed to work with the body of Christ. That's why Paul, there in verse 26, as we ended up our reading, says, "If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." We are all related. There are ties between each of us that make us inseparable. We looked at that in verse 13. "For you were baptized by one Spirit into one body." You have that common connection, that relationship. You're interdependent. You're connected with one another. You're indispensable. You know, we've talked about leprosy and of course, know what terrible things it can do to a physical body. But one of the things that leprosy does is affect the nervous system. And you can't feel. And then if you cut yourself or if there's some kind of a sore, you don't know that it's there and it continues to fester and become worse and worse until something terrible sets in. And I think that's what happens sometimes in our spiritual family as well. We've lost feeling for one another. We're unable to sense what is occurring in the lives of other members of the body. Paul encourages that. He says, know one another. Realize how important you are. Realize how interconnected you are. Realize how dependent you are on one another. And then make the most of that situation. Remember, I need you, is what Paul is saying. Most of us are probably familiar with a guy named Aesop, and we know him from his fables, don't we? Aesop's fables. One of those he talked about was the fable of the belly. And in that fable it said, one day it occurred to the members of the body that they were doing all the work while the belly was having all the food. So they held a meeting, presumably without the belly, and after a long discussion decided to strike work until the belly consented to take its proper share of the work. So for a day or two, the hands refused to take the food, the mouth refused to receive it, and the teeth had no work to do. But after a day or two, the members began to find themselves in not a very good condition. The hands could hardly move, the mouth was parched, and the legs were unable to support the rest of the body. Thus they found that even the belly, with its dull, quiet way of working, did a very necessary thing. It takes the whole unit. Every part works together. How can we apply this? I want to share just a few things here as we close this morning. In making this application, we're a part of that body. We're a part of that group that meets together. We're a part of this body here at Sunset, which is just a very small part of God's body as a whole. Yet we're interconnected to one another. One thing you can do is commit yourself to take the next step in connecting to this body. What is that next step? What can you do? Where can you go from here? How can you better yourself? How can you serve someone more? Think of a way that you could do more just this week. And we start with little steps. We start with the things that we could do to help someone here that's a part of this body. We start with the small things. I think a second thing that we can do is figure out how we can fit and plug into God's puzzle. God wants us to be involved according to how He has blessed us. The gifts that He has given us, the talents that He has bestowed upon us. And He has given each and every one talents. And so often we limit ourselves because of who? Right here. We say, I can't do that. Well, sure you can if you tried. If you can't, why can't you? Do you need to do more? Is there something you can do better? Can you learn from someone? Can you develop that talent? Can you do more than you're doing? And I think, of course, the answer to that would be yes. We can all do more. Third thing you could do is pray and ask God to give you a practical way that you can come alongside someone this week. Ask specifically for that. God, open a door for me. Give me an opportunity to serve. I think sometimes we need to become more vulnerable and ask others for help. When that toe was hurting, that whole body came to its side. We have so many here that are good at inviting and asking others to be a part of this body. Not only serving this body, but then reaching out. That's another function of this body. That's something that we can all do. I know of members here that invite their co-workers, invite their neighbors, invite their family to be a part. I guess the question is this morning, have you found your place? Doesn't always have to be a big part, but you can serve. I thought of just two examples that I want to close with this morning. We've just completed our vacation Bible school. We had about 65 volunteers that helped with that. And thank you very much. We had good support each night. And there were a lot of kids here that got to be a part of that. And we got to serve these kids in a special way. So if you were a part of that, thank you. If you weren't and can be next year, please do. And I think sometimes we often think, well, it's not going to make that big of a difference. It's not going to matter that much. I had one little girl that I heard made a comment about one of the college girls that was helping out with a craft. Probably didn't think she was doing that much. Probably didn't think it was that big of a deal. But that little girl said, "I wish she could be my big sister." Wow, isn't that neat? That makes a difference. Those kids are seeing some things. They're seeing the way parts work together. The body comes together. You know, another thing that we have completed this summer, and this is not in any way to pat ourselves on the back, but it's a way that we've tried to give that people could serve, is our home makeover. We completed that just last month. We may have thought, well, that didn't make much of a difference. That didn't mean much to anyone. I want to share a letter that we received from the daughter of Maxine. Maxine was the lady that we helped with her house there. This letter spent a few days at our local post office in one of the machines, I think. But we did receive it, and it was still to where you could read it. It says, "Dear Sunset Congregation, words can't express the amount of love we felt from all of you in the name of God while you were at my mom's house for those 3 days working. It was so inspiring to each of us, and I can't seem to quit talking or thinking about all you did. We got up Sunday morning and couldn't believe how the house looked. Just couldn't get over it." She goes on to say, "I have a calendar at work on my desk, and one of the quotes this week said, 'People who need people are in fact the luckiest people in the world.' And it had the verse of John 17:23. You all truly are co-workers with God. I just had to write a letter so you all could know how much in our hearts we truly are thankful for everything." And that was from Donna Garrison. You may have had a very small part in that. You may have only prayed for that. You may have prayed for that, and I hope you did. But what a difference collectively that made to that lady and the influence on her daughter. We do this to the glory of God in all that we do. That's what we have to keep in mind. But we need to remember sometimes it doesn't take a big thing to make a difference. Sometimes it doesn't take a huge act to make a difference in someone's life. And collectively, we can't all do the same things. We had folks working on that home makeover that have much more abilities to do things than I could. But we can all do something. We can all do some part and serve in some way. And that's what Paul is saying here in this chapter 12. Be a part of that family. You're indispensable. You're interdependent. And you're interconnected. It's a beautiful thing. A beautiful picture. We know how we rely on our physical family. How much more then can we rely on our family? The body of Christ. If we can pray for you this morning, we'd love to. Maybe there's something in your life that you're dealing with, that you're struggling with. We could pray this morning. One of our shepherds would do that very thing. Or maybe you're not yet a part of the family this morning and want to take that initial step, putting on Christ through baptism. What a wonderful way to start this new week. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?